If somebody says, you have more than 30 pounds to lose, I'll give you the medication, and doesn't draw labs, don't stay there. Red flag.
When you find somebody that says, oh yeah, I can work with you in GLPs, but I need to know more about you because you may not need it, versus somebody that goes, just fill out the form, that makes all the difference in the world.
If we don't get labs, I have no idea what's wrong. I did not go to magic school.
Right.
If I put you on a medication you don't need, and that medication's gonna go do something. So the medication went someplace else and started binding to another receptor site and doing things we didn't want it to do.
That's that careful part of being the CEO of your own health, is not listening to one podcast and then going, great, how do I find someone that will just give me what I tell them to give me?
Right.
It's finding someone like yourself who looks at the whole picture. Well, I know you're changing lives every day. You're seeing real results. The number of people on there that were like, thank you for doing the work that you do, for helping the people that you help, because I've experienced these things, is no small numbers. Hey everybody, welcome back to the FastFit podcast. I'm Kyle Recchia, CEO of FastFit and The Perfect Workout. Today, I have Kimberly Cunningham with me, and we are gonna wrap up our three-part series on all things PCOS, endometriosis, GLPs, a whole bunch of other stuff. So if you've made it this far, or more importantly, if you're new here, please go back and start with those episodes. You're going to get everything that we were trying to articulate. A few days ago, we had some clips from some prior episodes go viral, I guess, so to speak, on Instagram. 2.5, 3 million views, tens of thousands of shares, thousands of comments, whatever the case may be. And we wanted to get back together and share our thoughts on that stuff. But what I want to do today, and we'll try to keep this episode a little bit shorter, is just wrap things up with a few common questions about GLPs and then just what it looks like to work with someone like Kimberly Cunningham. So let's kick this off with the first one, sort of the elephant in the room sometimes when I say the word GLP. There are a lot of fears out there. And I think, Kimberly, you've said the negative press around these drugs is largely a prescribing problem, not really a drug problem. Can you just unpack some of these fears?
Sure. So GLP is the class of medication, and they're called GLP-1s because the first one, Ozempic or semaglutide, was just GLP, glucagonide peptide. Now there are more peptides, and so we have tirzepatide, which is GLP and GIP, and then later this year, retatrutide will be coming out, which is GLP plus GIP plus glucagon. So it's a class of digestive peptides that, when they are diminished or deficient, lead to obesity. Are implicated in making PCOS worse, maybe causing PCOS, are implicated in making endometriosis worse, maybe causing endometriosis. When GLP and GIP are deficient, that is also implicated in Alzheimer's type dementia, either causing or making worse. So because they go together, it's a chicken and egg. I can't say causation, but implicated in this contributes negatively to these conditions. So we definitely want to correct GLP and GIP deficiencies. GLP and GIP, glucagon-like peptide, is GLP. That's what's in semaglutide. GIP used to be called gastric inhibitory peptide, has a new name, not short. Glucose-dependent insulinotropic polypeptide is its new name. Just roll.
Let's see if the closed caption can get the right. Irony.
Probably won't. But that's made in another part of the small intestine. These are peptides responsible for how you utilize and eliminate carbohydrates, specifically sugar metabolism in the body. But they're also signaling peptides for other places in the body to do other things. And we're going to get into that. But when they first came on the scene, it was semaglutide, just GLP by itself, which even at the lowest doses does have a lot of side effects. It's an inelegant, clunky fix.
What are some of those common side effects?
And those side effects would be nausea, vomiting, reflux, GERD,
yeah.
So reflux disease, as well as constipation. And then as the doses went up, we also saw an increased risk for gallbladder disease, which is gallstones, and the need for emergency surgery to remove the gallbladder. That's not better. That's not how we want to lose weight. And then also some increased, small but still significant increase in pancreatitis. So we talked about this in another episode.
Yep.
So this is a repeat, you could fast forward. But any weight loss journey of greater than 20 pounds for a human, male or female, has an increased risk based on how fast you do it of gallbladder disease and pancreatitis. Because the fat to get out of your body is eliminated through the gastrointestinal tract. Mm-hmm. Goes out the poop, goes out the tailpipe. You're not going to pee out fat.
Right.
So it goes out the tailpipe. And so to get into the GI tract to be eliminated, it has to go through the liver. So fat, and this is how tirzepatide also has shown some really nice improvements for some patients in cholesterol control and lipid management. So if you can get the lipid and the visceral fat molecule to go through the liver and then through the common bile duct and out in a nice, slow, safe, take your time and get there, we don't see this increased risk of all these side effects.
So there's an appropriate amount of fat.
So don't go up on the dose every week. Don't go up on the dose maybe even every month. Go nice and slowly. Let the body slowly recover and slowly start to mobilize fat. Americans are impatient. Mm-hmm. We want it today. We want it right now. And I do a lot of hand-holding with, we're going to go slowly. If I ratchet up the dose every month, like the studies for these medications said I could, that's where we could get people into trouble.
Okay. Yeah. So that's where a lot of these fears come from. And the original one, it's been around for a while, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, for type 2 diabetes for, 16 years now?
Okay, yeah.
For semaglutide?
So there's been sort of a narrative and a story for a long time that I think got carried over into the press when this stuff got really popular 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Gosh, maybe longer. I don't know.
Well, Hollywood popularity is its own thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so that is some of the fears, but this is on mostly GLP. Mm-hmm. And then, as you mentioned, when you get into some of these other ones, like with GIP, they're more elegant, they're less clunky. So you see even less side effects with those. But it's still important that you don't just say, I want to lose my 50 pounds in 1 month because I've got a wedding coming up.
No, that's not attainable. That's not safe. I mean, you could probably go on a very extreme diet and get there quickly. And I'm sure you could search on who's done it and how they did it. That's not going to help your skin. That's not going to make your liver happy. You could get secondary pancreatitis, which means you're in the hospital and not at the wedding.
So tell us, what is your...
It's not better.
No, not at all. What is your actual protocol? And I know it's specific and different for every person, but in general, if somebody's like, well, what does this look like? You know what I mean? And we don't have to go too deep, I think, because if you listen to the prior episodes, we get more into the screening and stuff like that. But how do you dose? How do you monitor? What are you doing with most people on average?
Well, no matter what, I get labs first, make sure that they need this medication. And then we talk about which one to reach for. I don't really write for much semaglutide anymore. That's GLP by itself. It's just too clunky, too many side effects, even at low doses. Tirzepatide is GLP plus GIP, much more elegant, much more complete solution. In lower doses, we get the metabolic correction we're looking for, and we get the weight loss if that's what we're looking for at more conservative doses than the studies did. There is another one coming out called retatrutide. It's not commercially available yet. There are some compounding pharmacies making it, which is interesting. But that's GLP plus GIP plus glucagon.
Mm. So yeah,
a more complete solution. I do have patients on that medication. Mm-hmm. And it's for patients who are resistant to tirzepatide because they are probably metabolically inflexible, where they can't switch from carbs to fat for fuel. Mm. And the glucagon from the normally made in the liver, that message helps the body cut fat. So if we have somebody who on the in-body scale, most of the weight they have to lose is actual fat. And then by physical exam, we can see where that fat is and if it's external belly fat or the gut. And they've been resistant to tirzepatide, retatrutide is so far working and at lower doses.
Do you do resting metabolic rate testing? Is that something that's even helpful with this?
I don't. It might be helpful. I just haven't needed it clinically to discern who's a good candidate for these medications and how to monitor them. So for me, I haven't.
Okay. And then I'm going to ask another question. This one's just from Kyle because I've heard this and it's probably just a dumb question. But early on, I think I remember some of the side effects people were reporting that were odd or weird to them. Is something with the impact it was having on maybe dopamine levels or something in the brain, the story would go like this. Hey, I'm losing fat and I feel better overall, but now I don't really want anything. I don't want sex. I feel less happy in general. Have you heard any of those things? If so, do you know where that might come from?
So I don't hear that in my patient population because I won't treat just with a GLP-1.
Right. So this is probably a GLP-1 side effect.
Or something else was wrong that got missed. So if they gained weight because when they exercise, they're not getting the testosterone influence benefits of exercise, and so that's putting on weight, and we didn't fix the testosterone and we're just losing weight, we didn't fix the problem. Mm-hmm. If there are other undiagnosed disorders and dysfunctions, they'll let you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to rear their heads, if you will. So I don't see that in my practice, but I also am neurotic about all of the systems and making sure they're all working.
Yes. Okay.
So I haven't seen that in my practice.
What conditions beyond?
I would suspect that they might not have needed the GLP-1.
Probably not.
If you put somebody on a medication they don't need, that medication is going to work on something.
Mm-hmm.
So I suspect that those stories are probably the weight gaining was a trash thyroid or a hormone imbalance or a something else. But because there was weight to lose, that provider just willy-nilly put them on that medication and blocked their hunger drive, which it will do, and you will lose weight. But it wasn't the why.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that's what I would suspect on that one.
Yeah, and
that wasn't my patient, so I don't know.
That's that careful part of being the CEO of your own health is not listening to one podcast and then going, great, how do I find someone that will just give me what I tell them to give me?
Right.
It's finding someone like yourself who looks at the whole picture, understands where the evidence is when it comes to lab work and all that stuff to then get started scientifically, not just, all right, that's it. I'm just going to find the first person that will say yes and high dose and give me, I've known people that have done that. And unfortunately, maybe they get lucky every once in a while and it fixes the problem, but most of the time it leads to more problems. Another question here is what conditions beyond diabetes and weight loss, and we've talked about some of this, PCOS, endo, et cetera, are we seeing promise, like Alzheimer's, POTS, autoimmune, et cetera?
So when we look at what happens in the studied area, which is the peritoneal cavity,
okay,
which is the below the diaphragm. So this is most of the GI tract, so most of your small intestine, all of your large intestine, reproductive organs, kidneys, all of this live down here.
Which is also, say, 80% of your immune system or something like
that? No, your MIS is also your thymus and other areas.
Okay.
But your serotonin production, especially for mood. So in the peritoneal cavity, that's what's been studied. I don't know about other parts because we haven't needle aspirated the fluids of those parts yet. So data says in this cavity, when we don't have GLP and GIP, those are the two parts that are in tirzepatide and two of the three in retatrutide, when we don't have those either at all or in a significant diminished capacity, so we don't have enough, you see white blood cells become dysfunctional, specifically the macrophages. So macrophage activity, which is cleaning up the mess, becomes dysfunctional. Might that be why we have adhesion formation and endometriosis? Is because we've got these inappropriate growths that now the cells designed to clean it up have been made dysfunctional. We also see an upregulation through a whole other pathway of two pro-inflammatory cytokines. And when those are upregulated, now there's inflammation. In that situation, we see overgrowth of inappropriate growths like endometriosis, adhesions, like extra follicles in the ovary, PCOS, like amyloid plaque in the brain. Too much growth of that is implicated as what's Alzheimer's type dementia. So if we don't have these two signals doing their job, is the downstream effect of that extra growth in certain areas in certain people?
Mm.
Maybe. Are they all coming back to a similar source? I find that very interesting.
Yeah.
I find that very interesting that GLP and GIP deficiency begets and influences negatively three different diseases of inappropriate growths. So that's very interesting to me. I'm not saying they're all the exact same disease, because they're clearly not. But do they stem from the same problem? I think that's a very interesting question that I want some researchers to go and look at. Also, GLP and GIP deficiency in the peritoneal cavity is implicated in upregulation by proxy. Remember, serotonin is made in the gut, but it acts in the brain. There is a whole, how do I feel chronic pain signal that is upregulated in the absence of GLP and GIP. Fibromyalgia, chronic pain,
mm-hmm.
is endometriosis more painful because of this upregulation of this pain signal? And when we replace GLP and GIP, do the adhesion contractions hurt less? This is all theory.
Right, right. But this is the stuff that's being talked about everywhere.
So when we have situations that are becoming correlated to GLP and GIP deficiency, should we reach for a medication to replace what is lost? Yes. Mm-hmm. I say in my practice, yes. So if we have conditions that are looking like and testing like, and I can't test your peritoneal cavity. I don't have a needle that I'm going to come at you and start drawing off fluid and send it to some lab. That's not a thing people do.
Right.
outside of studies. So what we do is we study 50 people, 100 people, 400 people, if we're lucky, and we say, okay, in this group that has this condition, they do or don't have these signaling peptides. If we give them these signaling peptides, do they feel better? Yes. And that's where we stop.
Right.
So there's some of this we just can't ever
remember. Yeah, and it takes a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But in overgrowth conditions that are going with metabolic dysbiosis, am I reaching for tirzepatide more often? Absolutely. In very conservative dosing, very slow, and looking for a response.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. So it's a tool. It's a tool that can be wielded thoughtfully. So all medications are tools.
Right.
All interventions are tools. A hammer can be wielded beautifully and also not so well.
Which is the important.
So you need to have somebody who wants to think about the nuances.
Yeah. Takeaway for GLP, I think, is that I am pro GLP. And the reason I say that is because, sadly, after all of this, there are still people that stop at just the word. And like you just said, just being pro some medication or some treatment doesn't mean that there's not a whole lot of nuance for all of those things. You don't want to take a hammer and use it the wrong way. So it's important. That kind of leads me to this sort of final thing, is that you're one person. And I know your clinic's growing, but we've gotten messages from people all over the world. There's different countries, different laws, et cetera. How should women find, and I know you can't answer this for everybody everywhere, but what should they look for when they're trying to find a good prescriber in their area? And what might be one or two red flags, regardless of where they are in the world, when they start working with somebody who's like, yeah, I can work with you on GLPs?
Let's start with the red flag. If somebody says, you have more than 30 pounds to lose, I'll give you the medication, and doesn't draw labs, don't stay there. Because the reason you need to lose the weight may or may not be a metabolic dysbiosis from your small intestine. It might be coming from your thyroid. It might be coming from someplace else. So if we don't get labs, I have no idea what's wrong. I did not go to magic school.
Right.
I know my crystal ball is decorative only. It doesn't actually do anything. And I do have a crystal ball. It's fun.
Right.
But it doesn't actually do anything other than be pretty on the shelf. So labs is important, like a good diagnostician.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
let me pause right there for a second, because I think that's a nice place to insert. And I won't go down this whole conspiracy theory path and whatever. What's wrong with the world? What's right with the world? But... We'll be here all day. And at the same time, it's easy for people to throw comments out there like, this person's just selling this drug. And many companies very quickly over the last few years created spaces where it's like, yeah, just come online and we'll quickly prescribe it to you and you can get it. That happened a lot after COVID when you could get hormone replacement therapy without having to be in the state. It's like, oh, we don't need to know anything about you. We'll just sell it to you. And that's where the danger comes in. So when you find somebody, this is a great comment on the red flag, that says, oh yeah, I can work with you in GLPs, but I need to know more about you because you may not need it, versus somebody that goes, just fill out the form. That makes all the difference in the world.
I had somebody this week. Actually, I've had 4 women this week I told no for tirzepatide. You can't have it because that's not what's wrong.
Right.
And we went back through the labs and we went back through different ways to exercise, different ways to, all of the pieces that equal the body composition. And the answer was no, because that's not the medication that either their history and physical and their labs, this is not what they needed. If I put you on a medication you don't need, first of all, that's not good practice. And that medication is going to go do something. That's why I suspect the person you talked about who has this dysthymia where they don't want anything in life, but they might not have ever needed that. So the medication went someplace else and started binding to another receptor site and doing things we didn't want it to do. Mm-hmm. So making sure that they're appropriate is the number one red flag. The other is making sure that they understand or have a lens for functional medicine and are looking at head to toe what's going on. And they can really help you navigate a journey, because it's a journey. Right. My patients, anybody new, I say, you have to give me a year to undo a lot of damage and figure out your dosing and all of these things, and even if you need these things or not. And then at the end of the year, we'll have a pretty good, okay, here's your healthy aging plan.
Right.
So it takes me a year to get someone set. And then we keep going. Yeah. So anyone who says they can get you there in a week is very interesting. I would like to know their formula, because they can't figure it out. So it's a journey, and making sure that you feel listened to. Things to look for are someone who is hormone balancing certified, functional medicine certified. So hormone balancing, their certifications, the one from BioT is the one that I know because I helped write it and I helped teach it. Eviexis is another large hormone replacement therapy company that does education. And so they have educational programs. Belmar Pharmacy is a nationwide compounding pharmacy group. And they do a great education, typically in the fall. The last one they had was last fall in California. And that's like a four-day conference with 35 hours of CME credits. And so there are lots of conferences and workshops that you can go and either just do continuing education in or actually be certified in. Yeah. And those are professional certifications. Yeah. There's also functional medicine certifications that are to look for who you would want. The two biggest ones in the United States are IFM and A4M. In my practice, I'm going through the process of getting everyone A4M certified. That certifying body's collection of education just fits better with what we do every day. So that's why we chose that one, but they're both fine. There are other functional medicine certifications out there, and they are disease specific or global. And so those are things to look for if you're looking for somebody.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Functional hormones, someone's going to listen to you, that's going to sit down, take the time to understand you, that understands this is a journey, that doesn't just throw a tool at you or say, what do you want? Great, I can do that or prescribe that.
And we'll make you come back.
Yeah.
We have mandatory twice yearly, either in-person or telehealth visits.
Oh.
It's not an option. We are going to have twice a year visits. Because you're not just going to be on a medication and bye.
Right.
And you're in the wind and then what?
And that's where I want us to avoid those blanket statements. It's like everybody's out there with some agenda. Yes, there are people out there that are doing these things inappropriately and maybe not even just at a conscious level. And at the same time, when I'm in the room with these people, including yourself, that are like, these things are great tools, but we have to do them right. That's the movement, I think, so to speak, that showed up in these comments from a lot of practitioners around the world that are concerned with and careful with other people going, I'm just going to run with this thing, right? And so I love that. So final question, and this one you can just play with it and we'll give the caveat, like this is Kimberly's opinion, but I'm so curious about this. If metabolic medicine is the future of how we treat women's health, what do you think that world looks like in 5 years?
Well, 5 years ago, we didn't really have semaglutide or tirzepatide, so it's been a pretty busy 5 years already. I think the future of healthcare is going up these cascades. So we've known about, like, the arachidonic acid cascade is one of these biochemical cascades in the body. In the end, you've got leukotriene esterase and these other inflammatory markers, and that's why your ankle swells when you twist it.
Okay.
And so that's why you take an anti-inflammatory to treat that. So there's all these cascades. And in the PCOS and the endometriosis episodes, we talked a lot about how when we don't have GLP and GIP, that these other things happen. We talked about it as well today. I think I'm hoping that we keep getting further up these cascades and understanding where it went wrong first. And I'll give you an example. Acupuncture. Doctors of Oriental Medicine and acupuncturists. The best acupuncturist, the best uses one needle. And you will sit there with that one needle in that one point until your body pops it out electrically.
Wild.
It's wild. So the best acupuncturist understands the source of all the rest of it misfiring or behaving inappropriately. And I do not practice Oriental medicine, so I'm probably not getting the terminology correct. But the fewer the needles and getting a response. I'm not just saying one needle and no response, but the fewer the needles with therapeutic response, the better up the dysfunction to getting to the source.
Right.
So I think in 5 years, we're going to find out about so many more peptides and so many more signaling deficiencies. We might not yet know why there's a deficiency. These diseases are much more prevalent than they used to be. And I don't think they were being missed before. So something has happened to change human anatomy and physiology. So we have these peptide deficiencies now that I suspect we didn't have before. And I don't know which the it is, and that's its own podcast going down those rabbit holes. But the more we identify the different peptides in the body and what they do and how they signal, and the more we can figure out if we replace them, what can we correct? And then why did we lose them is another one that's coming.
Yeah.
So I just want to keep getting closer and closer to the source so that I can fix all of the things downstream with more elegant and smaller solution packages, because nobody wants to be on a bucket of pills and 25 shots a day.
Right.
So the further up we can get and the more tailored and specific we can get, the better it will be. And I think that's what's coming.
I love it.
We'll see.
Yeah, I love it. Well, I know you're changing lives every day. You're seeing real results. I almost want to tear up, but this episode was so good. And the ones that we saw on Instagram, the number of people on there that were like, thank you, Kimberly, for doing the work that you do, for helping the people that you help, because I've experienced these things, et cetera, is no small number. So I feel really blessed and honored that here at FastFit and the Perfect Workout, we get to have these conversations with great people like yourself who are also members and strength train with us. It's just so beautiful. And so follow Kimberly Cunningham Clinic on social.
It's at Cunningham Clinic, Colorado.
At Cunningham Clinic, Colorado.
I have a personal Instagram, but I've never used it.
Okay. I'll figure out that one.
I only have the work one.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Reach out to her if you have any questions. I know your phone's been going off the hook like crazy.
It's been a busy week.
Feel free to message us. We're taking those things. We're digesting them at the pace at which we can. And we'll continue to do future episodes on this stuff. Yeah. Thank you so much for your time.
This was good.
All right. See you soon. Thanks for tuning in to the FastFit Podcast. We hope you found today's episode inspiring and actionable. If you're ready to take the next step in your fitness journey, visit us at fastfit.com for more resources or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with someone who could benefit. Together, let's make exercise simple, empowering, and a part of a life well-lived. See you next time.